This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now, here's your host, Ed Smith.
And good morning. Joining me on the phone for Rock Talk is Mark Dwyer, the Director of Marketing and Communication over at Foodlink here in Rochester. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
You guys got a lot of stuff going on. First off, let's touch on the new data that came out about food insecurity here in our community.
Sure, yeah. Well, every spring, Feeding America, which is the national network of food banks, releases a new report. It's called Map the Meal Gap. And we had known for quite some time that the report that goes back 2 years in its study, so this is now 2022 data that comes out, we knew that would be a critical year because of, first and foremost, the expiration of a lot of federal support programs that went away as the pandemic kind of went along. So a lot of folks that are living in poverty or on the fringe of poverty, they lost a lot of financial support in 2022. And we were kind of waiting for this data for years, and it kind of did exactly what we expected. The need soared, and the food insecurity rate increased from 9.3% to 12%.
Wow.
And just to put that in perspective, in our 10-county region, the area that Foodlink covers, that went from 118,000 people that were considered food insecure to over 150,000 people that considered food insecure. So that's 33,000 people in the span of a year that are now considered food insecure because of what happened back in 2022.
That need is pretty much still there, right, Mark? It hasn't dropped.
Yeah, exactly. So we knew that, you know, publicizing this data and it's 2022, I think the most common question would be, well, what's happening now? What's happening today, last month, the month before? And so thankfully, we get data from our network, which is all the food pantries in our region, all the soup kitchens, the meal programs. They send us essentially how many people they're serving every month. And so from what we saw, the first 3 months of 2024, the latest data that we had, the need was up about 35% over the prior year. And so even the dramatic spike that we did see in 2022, we're seeing even bigger numbers in the last couple of years.
Is that tied to inflation and the fact that, you know, all of us go to the grocery store and we see how expensive things are? What is that tied to, you think?
Exactly, yeah. We think other than the federal nutrition program support that expired for the most part in 2022, that is the exact year that inflation was at its worst. We have a chart on our website that had the biggest spike. I think year-over-year prices were about 14% over the year prior in kind of the middle of 2022. So that is the biggest driver that we felt was the reason for this spike in need was inflation kind of impacting everyone around us.
And Mark, are you guys now, so you guys are working in the 10-county region here in our area. Are you guys seeing more county, state support kind of jump in now that the federal stuff is gone, or how is that panning out?
No, well, nothing could really make up for what existed during the height of the pandemic. We saw kind of three major programs take shape and really provide a lot of extra support. And that was namely the child tax credit that was around for over a year, enhanced SNAP benefits that were around for close to 2 years, and then free school meals. That was something that happened during the onset of the pandemic that expired back in 2022 as well. So when you add up those three things that all impact a family's ability to put food on the table and give them a lot of extra income to purchase healthy food, all three of those things going away in the span of 12 or 14 months, that's the impact that we're seeing from these numbers.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I've seen a few school districts in our region say that they're going to continue that free meal program.
Yeah, so unfortunately, at the state level, we've been advocating for this for a couple of years. At the state level, New York has not yet done a universal school meals program. They have improved it and they have enhanced it in the last couple budget cycles, but they haven't done the blanket free school meals for all yet. We've seen that happening all over the country, little by little. I think maybe if I were to guess, there's maybe 10 states now that do some form of universal school meals because they saw the benefits of what happened during the pandemic of when you just kind of make food a school supply, if you will, just something that every kid has a right to. New York State has not done that, but you're right in that some school districts have now been included in the threshold, the new threshold of which students and which districts get preschool meals. So yes, there are some districts around us that have now are part of that category, but we're advocating for universal school meals throughout.
Mark, what are you guys doing at Foodlink with this increased need for help and food insecurity? How are you guys tackling that big issue?
It's a collaboration always because of the network that we have. A lot of people need to understand that FoodLink is not operating in a silo. We have literally hundreds of partners doing this work alongside us. Small food pantries, big food pantries, meal programs, shelters. When they become a member of FoodLink, we're all addressing this problem together. So we were able to gather everyone together a month ago at our annual conference, got to share stories in terms of what the need has been like locally in the last year. And everyone agreed it's been soaring. It's been increased year over year. That's how we tackle the problem. It's not just a FoodLink problem. It is network-wide, and we have about over 200 local nonprofits doing this work with us at the local level.
Like you said, it's a collaboration with many different parties, for sure. We are talking with Mark Dwyer, the Director of Marketing and Communication at FoodLink, talking about food insecurity here in our community. And I know you guys try to do a lot of community outreach, especially this time of year, Mark. You guys are doing your curbside market again. Is that helping as well?
Yeah, so the curbside market is a really good solution to food access issues that that are unfortunately part of everyday life for a lot of people in and around Rochester, where they just don't have access to a local store within walking distance or a farmer's market. And so we make it more convenient, we make it affordable, and we bring fresh food directly to their doorstep. So in the next month, the curbside market will roll out a new schedule for the summer. We're going to pilot some shifts that go into the evening hours, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And related to that, because we're opening up some new shifts, we have a need for more volunteers. The way that the curbside market operates is it's a mobile market. We go to stops every hour or two throughout Rochester, pull up to a building, kind of open our doors, and people can shop aboard our market for the next hour. And it's the same time every week. But usually it's a staff operator from FoodLink and then a volunteer that rides along with him or her and helps serve the customer. So if people are interested in volunteering, they can certainly find out more on our website, and they could email volunteers@foodlinkny.org. But the curbside market is just a phenomenal experience for volunteers because you get out in the community, you get to meet people, you get to serve people, and just to make Rochester a healthier place by getting healthy food into neighborhoods that really lack access.
Mark, I'm wondering too, is there a schedule for that for folks that might be wondering about when it's coming to their neighborhood?
Yeah, so on our website, on foodlinkny.org, if you go to the curbside market page, right at the top is our most current schedule. We've got 62 sites right now as part of our spring schedule that goes through the end of June. And like I said, we will be revamping that schedule for the summer months, probably adding a few sites, and that'll take us through into the fall.
And again, they are looking for volunteers if you'd like to give back and really make a difference with the curbside market. Just go to their website and get more information. Also wondering, too, I noticed when I went to your website, you guys are working with the city of Rochester to do a survey about the community food system. Tell us more about that. What is that?
Yeah, so FoodLink has been involved in the Rochester Food Policy Council since that launched a few years back. And so one of their main priorities right now is this community food system plan and kind of being at the table for that. And the first thing that you'd want to do when developing a plan like that is engaging the community. So there is a survey now that they're trying to promote, that we are trying to promote through our website, through our social media channels. We'll be getting that link out quite often in the next few weeks just to make sure it's well circulated and people have an input on, you know, how they get the food, their food, where they get their food, what types of challenges exist related to food in the food system that exists here in Rochester.
And that, in turn, will you guys work with the city of Rochester to try and fill some gaps or see that, oh, there's a need over here, something like that?
Yeah, that's essentially the mission of the Food Policy Council, is to see where those gaps exist, see if there's policy levers that are in place that can be changed, that can be tweaked, legislation that could move through, that could really impact people's ability to get access to healthy food and put food on the table. So, yeah, we see that as that survey as just a better way to inform this council, this community, in terms of what steps need to be taken to make kind of healthy food accessible to all.
Mark, we were talking too, you know, we've talked a lot about food insecurity and the increased in need to help out people and get healthy food to them. And I know you guys are going a million different directions at FoodLink, but you told me that you guys are working on a new cooler over there. Tell us more about that project.
Right. So the timeliness of this food insecurity data was appropriate just because we are engaged in several big projects here at FoodLink that are addressing the fact that the need has risen, that we are running out of space in our food bank and in our cooler specifically. to get enough food out to the public. Like I said, we've done an excellent job alongside our partners to make sure that their shelves are stocked, and we've never been in a dire situation where we're running out of food. We just know that with the need on the rise, we need more space here at Foodlink to expand to get more food out to the public. So the first step in the next couple weeks, actually, is to start construction on a brand new cooler at Foodlink that will kind of double the capacity of our current cooler and really allow us to get more perishable goods. You got fruits, veggies, dairy out into the public in the next year. So certainly seeking community support and donations to help us with that journey that begins in July.
And again, if somebody wants to get involved and help out, to go to their website, you can certainly help out with that. And, you know, it's great to see you guys expand because I know you help so many people in the community, even though it's unfortunate that people are in need. But I love that you guys are there to step in and help out because you service so many different food pantries and kitchens across our community. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the number that we cited quite often in the last few months is reflective of what happened last year. And that's the fact that 1.3 million times someone in our community showed up to a food pantry needing help. And that's a startling number. It kind of puts in perspective the need that exists throughout our 10 counties. 1.3 million times some agency affiliated with Foodlink helped someone put food on the table that day. And going back to what we talked about earlier about the rise in need of what we're seeing this year, if the numbers kind of hold up from the first 3 months of 2024, we expect that number could grow closer to 2 million, 1.9 million. And so that, again, kind of puts in perspective what the need is right now and just how many times a day and how many times throughout our region someone in need of help receives help by going to one of our member agencies.
Mark, I'm wondering, too, you know, you guys are, we're heading into the summer months here, school lets out, stuff like that. Are you guys working to help fill the gap with, I'm thinking about kids that won't have the meals at school because it'll be summertime?
Of course, yeah. Our kitchen, our community kitchen that is always so busy during the school year providing those after-school meals, they are switching gears right now and kind of getting in the mindset of summer meals time, which is late June, July, August. As you mentioned, a lot of meals disappear for children in our community when school is not in session. And so when you multiply two meals daily per kid per day, let's just consider a family of five or six. That adds up over the course of a couple months. So we're part of the Summer Meals program with a lot of collaboration around the community with the city, with the school district, making sure that there are sites all over Rochester, where such as rec centers, central locations where a kid can show up and get a healthy meal throughout the day so that they're not losing those meals over the summer.
Tell me, how are things going at the community cafe downtown at the library? Still rocking and rolling there?
Yeah, still rocking there. We just turned 3 years old in May. Yeah, a bold move opening up a cafe during the height of the pandemic, and that was 2021. But we're still here. We're still serving the community. Just a delicious lunch option downtown in the central library, open from 11 to 3. That's in the Bausch & Lomb wing. You know, it's always been a two-pronged mission at the cafe. Number one, it's where our culinary apprentices get training. It's where they serve the public and really get that hands-on training that they don't get back in our kitchen. And so they're able to serve the community and have a very, customer-facing interaction through the cafe. So that's mission number one. But then, of course, mission number two, creating healthy meals, but also giving someone that may need food assistance the opportunity to get a meal for $3 as opposed to the full price that's on the menu. So, you know, your average lunch anywhere in Rochester might run you $10, $12 for a sandwich, for a side, maybe a drink, maybe more. But for anyone that's kind of walking into the cafe, self-identifying as someone that needs extra help, they can pay $3 and get exactly the same meal, a sandwich, a side, a drink, no questions asked. So that's been a mission of the cafe ever since we launched back in 2021. You know, because it was still the pandemic was fresh and there was a lot of people in need, we want to make sure that we're providing some extra support for the community too.
And you see that going long term, Mark, as far as keeping the doors open there?
Yeah, it was never, I mean, when we launched it, yes, of course, it was like a pilot because that's never something that we've done before, opening up our own cafe. So after the 3 months of a pilot, we decided, yes, we're in it for the long haul and we're still there 3 years later.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned the culinary program there. Tell us more about that. These are students, people that want to learn culinary skills in our community that are getting them there, and then they go on to places like Wegmans and other restaurants and stuff like that, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the Foodland Career Fellowship. It's a year-long intensive culinary program. It's the only cook apprenticeship in New York State, and we guide people through kind of their dream of becoming a chef, whether that be in a restaurant, whether that be opening up their own food truck, working at a Wegmans or a university. We give them the skills they need for about 9 months here at Foodlink and give them the proper training. And then the last 3 months, which is actually what's happening right now with our current class, they are now interviewing for and securing their externships at a local employer for the next 3 months before they graduate. And so it's a two-step program where you start at Foodlink, you get a lot of practice, a lot of hands-on training, and then we pair people with an employer locally that can really show them what it's like to work in a fast-paced kitchen environment before they graduate and then enter the workforce full-time. So that's where we're at right now with class number 8, about to start at places such as Wegmans, our current class. I believe there's about 7 people in our current class going to places like Wegmans and local restaurants to get the last 3 months of their training.
And what a win-win, because so many of those places, whether it's a restaurant or whatever food establishment, I feel like they are still hurting so bad for employees. So to have this batch of students that are well-trained and understand what it takes coming their way, that has to be a huge relief.
Exactly. When we launched the program, that's exactly what we thought, that the need was there. We wouldn't have launched the program if we didn't see or hear about a need from places like Wegmans and restaurant partners throughout the region, that they needed that subset of employees that had the middle skills, you know, not the necessarily the minimum wage or the kind of the low level employee, but someone with like middle skills, a lot of repetition, a lot of practice. And so there was just a lack of employees in that at that level. So that was our mission, was to train people up to that level so that they can enter the workforce with a living wage and with kind of a lot of chance for upward mobility. So yeah, we're proud that that program has lasted, and now we'll be recruiting for our 9th class in the fall.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So how does that work? If somebody is interested or they know of maybe a student who'd be a perfect fit for this, how does that recruitment process work?
Yeah, it's an interesting application process in that it does require a nomination from either an individual, a nonprofit partner, someone that could kind of back someone up and support them. And so probably within the next few weeks, we'll be recruiting heavily. We'll start to recruit heavily throughout the summer. The information is not yet on our website, but it will be very soon, in terms of how you can apply to be a member of the 9th class.
That's exciting. Yes, can't wait. I know it's that season, right? Graduation and then a new class coming. It's great to see that, Mark, and what a wonderful opportunity for those young folks in our community. And again, you guys still need volunteers for the curbside market and just in general at the warehouse too?
It's very interesting. So I would encourage people to email us at volunteers@foodlinkny.org. You can find more information about volunteering on our website. But what's happening is, so new shifts at the curbside market means we need more individual volunteers. One unfortunate side effect of this big cooler project, we have to reduce warehouse volunteers in the coming months just because we don't have the room. Actually, for people that have volunteered at Foodlink before, the main volunteer room that has the conveyor belt and all of the banana boxes and all the food,
that is
what's being converted into a cooler right now. And so we're doing a lot of work to get everything into the room next door. But over the next several months, unfortunately, we're scaling back on the number of volunteers that can work in our warehouse as we navigate this big construction project.
And will that affect the groups too, Mark? I know a lot of times employers like to do team building with groups, yeah?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're putting a pause on groups for at least the very beginning of this construction project while we figure out what we have the capacity for in terms of room. And then we'll be, you know, likely opening up groups once we have everything settled. But yes, we are pausing groups in July. I imagine these types of things book up way in advance. I imagine June is probably fully booked with a bunch of eager groups willing to get in and get their hands dirty. But starting in July, we'll have to pause groups for the time being.
Gotcha. And again, if you want to get involved, find more information on all the stuff we talked about with Foodlink, just go to their website. It's foodlinkny.org. Mark Dwyer, thank you so much for your time this morning.
I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 102.7 WLGZ, DJRO Broadcasting.